Well, I'd appreciate your prayers. Sometimes I wonder whether I'm going to make sense or not. But I know the Lord can make sense of this, so we're dependent on the Lord to help us. I'd like to kind of bring our minds to the idea of how big our God is. And I know that if I was to ask you tonight how big God was, you would have the right answer. But I'm not talking about an intellectual answer. I'm talking about the way we really believe, what we really live, because it's more than just having a thought about something. But unless it affects our lives, then we probably really don't believe it. We have a big God. To say that God is big is it's an understatement. Because He's everything. I'm amazed at what the universe is as the mind that God, as our man, can understand it. But we can't understand it. It's so big. The creation of God is so big that we barely scratch the surface of understandings. The stars that are out there, the planets, the galaxies upon galaxies, the understandings is so we're so limited with that. And if you go the other direction into the molecule idea and atoms and electrons and protons, and you go into that, we're as limited one direction as we are the other. It's vast, beyond our comprehension, vast. And God created all of that. That's how, I mean, we can't understand that, and there is a being that created all of it, beyond all of that. And yet God has made Himself known to us. And is willing to come and be a part of us and let us be a part of Him. Our God is a great and magnificent God. And if we could only realize how little we give Him. I mean, how small we make Him. By the way we live our lives many times, we bring Him down to be so little, so puny, so incompetent. If we're not careful, the God that we proclaim to be the God of all universe, of all creation, there was nothing created that He didn't create. All things that were created were for Him and by Him and for Him and all of this. But yet in all of that, if we're not careful, we bring Him down that He can't do the smallest thing for us. We bring it down to there's no reality of Him in our lives. We go on and live our human existence thinking for ourselves, thinking the way humans think, living our ways, doing those things, and never allowing the idea that God is great. So much farther than our thinking. He's so much bigger than that. And if anyone has a duty to show how great God is, it's His people. We have a duty to bring the reality of a great God to a lost and dying world. Can God deliver souls? I've had people ask me before, do you believe that God can deliver from this situation? And my answer is a pat answer. It's always the same answer. Yes. Yes, 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 He can. I don't know why it don't happen sometimes, but it's not God that can't do it. God can deliver. God is big enough, folks. Here's where we run into it with the Christian doctrine of living in sin. That God either doesn't hate it enough or He isn't big enough to do anything about it. And I say tonight that neither is true. God is, He hates sin, and He come to do something about it in our lives. And He's big enough and powerful enough and made a plan big enough to take care of the sin issue in our lives. It's our duty to magnify and glorify God for who He really is. And who He really is a great loving God that came to deliver us from those kind of things in our lives. All the elements in our lives, if we're not careful, our statement to the world is a puny God statement. Because He isn't big enough to give me victory over my selfish desires. He's not big enough to give me victory over the bitternesses that I hold in life. He's not big enough to help me to forgive. He isn't big enough to control my addictions, my habits. He isn't big enough to help me conquer the things in my life. He's not big enough. Well, none of us would say that with our lips. But we'll say it with our lives. We will say it with the lives we live if we're not careful. We bring God down to an incapable, insufficient, pitiful God that can't do anything. You know, I'm amazed, and I'm totally against it, but I was amazed back in 9-1-1 when these Muslim terrorists, these terrorists flew the planes into the buildings. I'll say this for them. They proved they believed it. Now, they didn't prove to me that it was worth anything. But they proved to me that they believed what they were doing because they gave the ultimate for it. They believe it. Well, I don't believe it, but I'll say this. Do we really believe what we say? Is God able to deliver us? Is God God enough to work in our lives? Is He worth me hanging my hopes on? Is He big enough for me to hang my life on? Is God big enough for me to say, nobody can take me out of His hand. Nobody can take me out of this earth unless He says so. Now come on, this is God. This is a living God that we proclaim. Is He big enough to give me understanding? Is He big enough to protect me in the situations He'll take me to? Is He big enough to do it? Well, if He's big enough to do it, then I ought to put one foot in front of another and go on. If He's big enough, I need to come to the place. I know there's fearful places. I know there's places that we get to that we lose the idea of it. But if we're not going to glorify Him, if we're not going to exalt Him and take Him up, who is? Who's going to do it in this modern day? I know what Christianity's about mainly. But it isn't about lifting up a mighty God. It isn't about lifting up a God that can do something for you in your life. It's our duty. It's our responsibility to come to the place that we can glorify God with our lives. Now I want to start with scripture in 1 Corinthians. Let me see, the 10th chapter. I'm just going to isolate this scripture. 10 and 31. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The idea of glory, in a simple definition, is to bring praise, honor, and admiration. Okay? To lift up, to honor. To bring a good opinion, to bring an awesomeness to it, to this. And it said, Paul was given some real good advice that covers all of the things that we don't understand. I can't tell you where every line is drawn. I don't know. I can't tell you about every indifferent idea. I don't know. There's black and white things. There's things you don't do. I mean, there's adultery, there's fornication, there's covetousness, there's all these things that we know is labeled wrong. But there is things that you and I butt up against that we can say, I don't know. So Paul comes and concludes all of it.
It says that no matter what you do, how much do you eat? I don't know how much you should eat. I'm going to say this, though. In the fear of God, we have a God big enough to help us with our eating habits. I believe that. And I believe we can let our eating habits go way out of bounds. I'm talking about the reality that we respond different because there's a God than we would if there wasn't one. God must make a difference in my life. And so there must be some places that God can. If we're not careful, we show to the world that there's no God that can help me get control of myself. And I want to say tonight that there's a God that can help us get control of ourselves. And it's our duty as a Christian to lift up and glorify that God with a testimony. I used to have a bad habit and He helped me with that and conquered that because He's a God big enough to do it. When once I give it to Him and seek Him for it, He's able to help me conquer these places in my life. Or else He's not God. Or else He's puny and weak and can't do those kind of things. Tonight, God's big. I want to tell you tonight, you got those places in your life, God is absolutely big enough to give you the grace to overcome those things, to be a witness, that we can lift up God for who He really is. He's not weak in any of these things, but He's mighty. He's mighty to save and He's mighty to keep. He said, whatsoever you do, therefore, whether you eat or you drink, you may say, I don't know where the boundaries are. How do I assess this? I know how I'll assess it. I will bring it to it glorifies God. That's what I'll do. I will do it in a way that it brings glory to God. If it doesn't bring glory to God, then I will have to readjust that. I want to be able to speak of how big and wonderful and loving and good and righteous our God is. How faithful is our God? You know, if we ain't very careful, we'll show the world that God ain't very faithful. You know, I wondered Jesus on this, or he kind of wrestled around with carnal men. He had his disciples, and how he must have wondered before. Here Jesus is on this ship, and the sea gets rough, and Jesus is in the hinder part of the ship, and he's asleep, and the disciples are over there, and all of a sudden, they forgot something, didn't they? They forgot how big the Son of God was. They forgot that the one that owned the waves was on the boat. They didn't look at it the right way at all. And they diminished. Careth not that we perish? Now we're even going to get into God's intentions. If we're not very careful, we show to the world that God's got a poor intention towards people. We had bad intention towards me. That's the kind of thing we'll do. Well, they said that, and they had lost the idea of it. Careth not that we perish? And Jesus said, Jesus must have thought, oh my. You got it so wrong and so, I'll keep working with you, but you got it so wrong. This little storm? You're worried about this little storm? Let me show you something. Peace be still. And the elements obeyed. What manner of man is this that the very elements obey him? The wind obeys him. He's the one that made it. He's the one that started it blowing, and he can tell it to stop. And because that's the God we serve. You think your trouble tonight is too big? It's not outside of God. God knows what your trouble is. God knows the sea that disturbs you. God knows the storm that's rough in your life tonight. Our duty isn't to wrestle with that. Our duty is to say, glorify yourself, Lord. Lord, help me to be an instrument of your glory. If you want to use me in the middle of the storm, help me to be the one that can ride the storm and show how big God is. I can't do it by myself. You can't do it. We're depending on a God to be able to do it. I want to encourage anyone in here that has any inklings that God might be working with them to do anything for His kingdom. And you may be backing up saying things like normally is said, well, I can't preach. Well, I can't do that. I can't talk. I can't do that. Good. It's exactly the way you ought to feel right before you say, yes, Lord, do it in me. Yes, Lord, you're big enough You're God enough. You did it with Moses and Aaron, and you did it with other ones, and you did it with Brother Marty. I'll tell you assuredly, he did it with me, and he can do it for you. It's a calling. It's a gift of God. Don't shun that. It is true that he will most likely pick a lot of the times the ones that he can get the most glory out of. And if you think that you're a dynamic orator, that you can really stir and move people, God most likely ain't going to be too interested in you until he gets you down to the place that he can get some glory out of you. Because if it's all going to you of how good, it ain't what God's going to be after. But God's going to pick a stammering tongue, or he's going to pick some kind of a weak area, or he's going to pick something, and he's going to use his spirit to bring glory to his name. Because God's big. God ain't worried about the things that you and I worry about. Now, I'm going to tell this little story. I've told it many times. You probably heard it, but it involves Sister Tricia and Brother James. But I'm going to tell it anyway, even though they're here. I was at their house one time. We was holding a revival in Sepulpa. And I got a call. I was studying for the night service. And Sister Tricia told me, said that Brother James had called and he needed somebody to go into the jail with him. And said, don't worry about anything. He just needs a warm body. He just needs somebody there. You don't have to think. You don't have to talk. All you got to do is go. And I said, I'm the candidate. I'm the one. If that's all I got to do, I'll go. So we went over there, and I went in with Brother James. And I know the first pod we went into, I think they called it, went in. And he talked with the guys. And I just stood there and said hi to a few of them. And he opened this book, and he started doing a lesson for these guys. And the lesson, the scriptures he was using is what the Lord gave me at the house. The very ones I'm thinking, no, isn't that a coincidence? God gave me the same thoughts that he's given them guys. I had no idea. And I thought, well, isn't that something? But I don't even have to say anything. Well, we went through another pod, and he introduced me to the next guy. This is Brother Marty. At the end of it, he said, you got a little something. I said a little something to him. And the third one we went into, Brother James said, guys, this is Brother Marty. He's got a message for you. But he was right. He was right. God gave me a message just like, it was amazing. God is a big God, folks. God is a big God. But the only problem was we got out of there, but going on 6 o'clock, we're driving back to the house, and all of a sudden I realized I preached my burden away. I had nothing inspirational. I started getting pretty frantic about the night service. I saw, oh my, what? And you know, the Lord spoke so plainly to me on the road back to their house. He said, I'm not worried. You know, it gave me courage. God said, I'm not worried. He's a big God. Do you not think he can fill my mouth with words? Do you not think that he knows what the congregation needs? And if he's going to use it over here, he's going to take care of it over there. You believe that? I believe it because it happened. I want to tell you what the folks at Sepulpa said that year. The best service was that night, and I didn't have a thing. I tell you, I went there. I was dry. Hey, Lord, you ain't worried? I ain't going to worry. You got me? And I want to tell you, it seemed like the inspiration of God poured down on me because God did it. God did it. He's a big God. He's able to do that. He's not going to do that just for me. Oh, he didn't just do it for Paul. He just didn't do it for Peter. He does it for everybody. And it's because that's who he is. We need to raise him up with our lives. Is he worth trusting in? Can you trust in God? I'm going to tell you tonight, you can trust in God. You can hang it all on him. Because I know this gets tight, but there's times that we got to do something. Not if he's God. Not if he's God. We'll say, well, what if his back's turned? What if he's on a vacation? What if he's not paying attention? Well, I better do something real quick before or whatever. I'm going to tell you, God's real. We'll only find the reality of it, though, when we're willing to put ourselves in the place to be able to receive those kind of places. We'll see how big God is, and we will glorify God. It glorifies him for us to say, yes, Lord, You said that you are a loving, faithful God. I believe it. You said that nothing can take me out of your hand. I believe it. You said that you never leave me or forsake me. I believe it. I believe that I can do what you want me to do, and I can do it faithfully, and no harm could possibly come to me. Because he's God. His duty is being God, and he does it really well. And our duty is to glorify the God that does it so well. I've used this many times in my own experience. If God saved me, which I know he did, I know he died for me. I know he loved me enough to die for me. If he loved me enough to die on the cross for me, will he just easily let me go? Will he let something harm me and take me away? No. No, he won't. Because he's God enough to keep me. He loves me enough. So in times we doubt. In times, if we're not careful, we're challenged the very existence. We doubt the existence of God. And we live our lives as if he isn't in existence. And we perform our duties like there is no God there for anything. I mean, I'm always impressed with those dear saints that come with the testimony that God helped them do something really, really small. Because, see, I know he's a God of great things. But he's also a God of small things. God, Brother Jim used to say, he told us one time in a prayer service, he testified to the fact that he had lost his billfold and his checkbook a lot, but he testified one time that he looked all over for it and he couldn't find it. And he said that he prayed to the Lord. He said, "Lord, I know you know where it's at." He said he sat down in the chair and the Lord said, "Put your hand down in the chair." And he reached down in the chair and pulled it out. I knew you knew where it was at. I know God knows where those things are at. I know he knows where things are at. Do you know that we can live our lives that there is an existing God? If we're not careful, we'll show everyone around us in the way we live that we don't really believe that there is a God in existence. Lord, help us. We also will doubt his purpose, his will, what he desires to do. We will live like he doesn't have a purpose. He does have a purpose. And we will act like he's not. We'll also act like that he's not powerful. We'll live our lives like God isn't powerful enough to take care of the things. He is powerful enough. We will doubt his love sometimes. We will act like he's not a loving God. He is a loving God. We'll act sometimes like he's not faithful. And he is a faithful God. There's a scripture, I use it quite a bit. It's over in 1 Samuel. Maybe I won't read all of it, but just kind of tell the way the story went. If you'll remember the story of David and Goliath. David was minding the sheep. And he got word. Jesse, his father, sends him up to check on his brothers, up to see how the battle was going. So he goes up to see how the battle was going. And when he got up to see how the battle was going, the battle was pitched, and there was Philistines and over here and Israel over here, and there was a battle pitch or situation there. And when he gets up there, the great champion of the Philistines, Goliath of Gath, walks out and just plain runs down God. Runs him down. And David, little David, is there. And he gets stirred up about that. He gets stirred up that somebody came out there and was making fun of God. And God's things and God's army and God's people, all about God, you don't have a God. And David looks at this whole situation and he says, basically, who's going to take him on? I mean, come on. Did you hear that? Somebody's going to do something. Because there was something in here. Wait a minute. We don't serve dumb idols. We don't serve the, what was it, the 115 Psalms? Hands have they, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. They have mouths, but they don't speak. Ears, but they don't hear. The dumb idols, they don't do anything. Wait a minute, we don't serve dumb idols. We serve a living God. What are you all standing up here for? Remember how they thought of David? We know the naughtiness of your heart acting like that, saying things like that. They was pricked in their own spirit. And David's intention was, how can we not raise up our God? Hasn't God made us promises? Hasn't God not said to us that He would defend us? That He would be with us? Why are you cowering down? Why are you doing this? So David up and says, I'm going to go. And David said in the 29th verse, and says, and David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from toward another and spake after the same manner. He looked to one side and said, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? Do we have a cause? Is it our own cause? Folks, listen, I appreciate the church of God, but it's not the cause. It is in a sense, but it isn't the cause. Jesus is the cause. God is the cause. We're the church is to glorify God. To lift Him up on this earth as being a God that you can trust in and live for. He is one that will take care of your needs. He is one that will answer your prayers. He'll answer our prayers. He'll work with us when we act like that. Lord, help us. He's real. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to lay my life down for this? Isn't it what God wants us to do? So David, little David, no mighty man of valor, a boy, a young man. The armies, the men of the army stood back. They were scared. Saul ought to have had the nerve to do it. He ought to have had the anointing to do it, the blessing to do it. He didn't do it either. But here was one, David. Is there not a cause that we could glorify God and show the nation of Israel, the Philistines, the whole world around, that we have a God? And when he went down there to face the Philistines, did David get the glory? Did David take the glory of how... hey guys, you want to see somebody sling a stone, you stand back and watch. I practiced a lot. And I'm going to show you how to fling a stone. I'm good. No, he didn't say that. Didn't go down there with that idea. He went down there in the name of the Lord. I'm going to lift up God and show Him God can kill the giants in your life. Well, I like for God to do it. Well, you know what? God don't go striking them down. He puts it in your hand. Here, you got a giant? By my grace, take him down. You've got the ability through God's grace to take out every giant that you face in your life. There is big giants that we have to face of doubts and fears and all those kind of things. If I was have to do this by myself, I'd be a coward too. But it's not me. It's God. And God can do wonderful, wonderful things in our life if we'll turn it over to Him. Sometimes we feel like that we've got to somehow be mighty. I'm going to tell you something, especially for young ministers or aspiring ministers or whatever you are. The most blessings that's been on me is when I'm the least capable of anything. I've been in places to where I hardly could get a thought together. I've been in places to where there was either sickness or something that kept me from being myself, my full self, and the duty was laid on me, and there I was, and I feel like the Lord brings me to that place, and I'm there in an earnest begging, God, Lord, I can't do this. You're going to have to do something. And I want to tell you, in those times, the Lord does something beyond what you could ever imagine. It is none of my thinking. There is times the Lord works through it, but there's times that the Lord wants something special. Every time the Lord seemed to want something special, He brings me to a place that I have such a need that I can't do anything. Lord, you're going to have to really help. And when that place comes, God can glorify himself through a vessel. It's our duty. It's our duty to give ourselves to his glory, not to our own. We're just flesh. He's God. God of the universe. He's a God that wants to be magnified and lifted up to this world. How's the world going to be saved if we have a puny God that can't do it? We have a mighty God that can deliver from addictions and habits and those things and give a grace beyond what anybody can imagine. We don't know that hardly because we've not experienced and went through it, but the ages of the martyrs did, and they found a great, great grace of God, a mighty God that stood with them. And they was able to go through horrendous things by the power of God. You can't tell me he can't do it. I know that he can do it. I don't buy into the idea that you have to live in this place of sin and all this, and you'd have to live there without any hope or getting out of it till some future. No, God does it here in this life. The grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly here in the present world. That's what he come to do, to be a God now. He's God. And he can do miracles. I want to tell you, the day of miracles, it's not over. It's not over. We want to look at another scripture, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12. Remember this one? Oh, I'll go all the way back. Second verse. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself will I not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which ye see me to be, or that ye hear of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through an abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And thus goes the glory of God. God does not choose the great things. He chooses the weak things that he can bring glory out of it. I'm minded of one time I went to see Brother Dale Doolittle in his last days. Most everybody here, of course he was here. Most everybody knew Brother Dale. And if I may say so, he was quite a character. In his life, he was quite a character. And I went to him one time, and he was a very serious place in his life. And he was all bent over, and legs was all weeping. And he, in his bent over condition, starts to cry. And he said to me, he said, Brother Marty, I don't understand. I don't understand why God would leave somebody as pathetic as me. Left here, I can't do anything. I can't even hardly move. I can't bring any glory to God. I can't do anything. And I said, Brother Dale, surely you jest. You're preaching better than I do. You're doing more. People, the ones that was come in, the hospice for you all that knew it, come in there. When they would all come in, we'd go to have prayer. They'd all want to come in. He was touching them so much by what he had on hand. It was doing so much for him. God would have gotten nothing out of a giant of a man that had a power and strength. He took something that was weak, and in that weakness, The faithfulness that he had in God, the desire that he had in God, it touched the ones that was coming in. I said, I can't preach like that. This is what I try to preach about. You're really giving it here. And it brought glory to God. It lifted up God. We say, I would never want to be or pick myself into being in a situation like that. But it brought glory to God. You know how many times I've told the story? Set up in Webb City, Missouri at a tent meeting. Brother Dale's family had been called in the week before. He's down and he's only got a day or so to live. I said, they're at the tent meeting in Webb City, and I look over and who's sitting over in the car? Brother Dale. You don't think God can help you? Let me tell you, there was a man that said he can. God never did heal him of all that things. But he gave him strength to just keep going. He gave him strength to have faith in God and do that. And I look at that and I wouldn't have been marveled. I wouldn't have marveled at somebody that was strong. I marveled because of the weakness. And God showing himself strong in behalf of somebody that was so incapable, so weak. Had to push so hard. And if we're not careful, we act like he's not important at all. We act like there's no power. We act like there's no place that of blessing. Lord, help us. God is real tonight. And he wants to be glorified in our lives. So we get down to where we live now. Of what brings glory to God. It isn't impurity that does it. Do all to the glory of God. Does that music bring glory to God? Does those songs bring glory to God? Does that entertainment show that there is a God that can deliver us from the desire of evil things? Does that entertainment show that we can live a pure and holy life? Does my eating habits show that I can be in control of myself through the power of God? Come on now, I can give you scripture if you want to debate that one. There's more than enough about us controlling ourselves by the power of God. I don't say anybody, I know you say, well, Brother Hardy, we all have our weaknesses. Amen. Amen, we all have them. And we all need a great God to help us with them. And to overcome them. That's what the glory of God is. To say, brother, I had a problem. And I had it for a long time. And I sought God. And it wasn't so ingrained. It wasn't so a part of me. It wasn't just born in me that couldn't be moved. It wasn't just cultural. God was able to move it out of my life by his power. Just like we heard last night, the fountain's open. God's able to take care of all those things in our lives. It's able to change the reoccurring attitudes. Right? I heard on the news the other day, somebody shouted a question to the president. And it had to do with his dealings with the North Koreans. And they hollered, are you playing games? Is it just games? He said, come on, John. Everybody plays games. You know they do. I want to restate that. Everybody plays games. If you're not careful, you'll be a game player. Now follow me. Be honest enough to say that I'll play. If you ain't on top of things spiritually, you'll be playing games. Mental games. Games to get over your spouse. Get up one on your neighbor or something like that. Hurt their feelings and you got a little advantage. I'll run that to the ultimate. I'll get the most mileage out of that hurt if I can. Games. Lord help us. They may be fun, but they ain't very godly. And they don't speak very highly of a God either. That is to help us in all truth and honesty. To be real. Lord, help us to be real about our experience in God. Because our duty as a Christian is to glorify God. To live for Him. To fear God. To exalt the living Christ to the world around us. as they look and say, you know, one time I was working on the job and I come off this hill, me and a buddy, my guy I was working with, and I tripped as we come down off the hill, and I had a paint bucket. I was thankful that the lid was on the paint bucket, but I hit in them rocks, and I mean, I went head over heels through those rocks. And when I landed, when I got through rolling, and he was just looking, I mean, he was wondering if I was hurt, and he was looking, and I said, "Praise the Lord." And he said, "What? Praise the Lord for falling in the rocks?" I said, "Yeah, thank the Lord." He said, Marty, you're a nut. That's what he told me. "You're a nut." And I said, "Well, what would have been better to say?" "Well, I know what I'd have said." I said, "Yeah, but what would be better? What would be better to say?" "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." "Well," he said, "well, I don't want you to thank God for." "Well," I said, "I'll just tell you then." I stood up and said, "I ain't broken up. I can still walk. I still got life. I'm still thankful. I'm going to be thankful. I'm hurt. This is going to remind me. I mean, there's a lot. But you can be thankful. Because there's a God. Because He's a living God. There's grace. There's grace for you and I to be able to say." I know this is tough, folks, but there's grace for us to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong." You believe there's a God? You believe He's a big God? There's a God that's able to help us to say, "I'm sorry, I was wrong. I didn't do it right. Forgive me and pray for me that God will help me do it right." Is that all right? There's a grace for us to be able to confess our faults. "Brethren, I'm not what I ought to be. Would you pray for me?" There's a grace of God to live this life for. Well, you and I don't have to take up arms. You know why? There's a God. There's a God. And when Stephen was in trouble and he's going to be stoned to death, and the Lord was not going to stop him, He was going to bring glory through Stephen's life. But the scripture says that Stephen looked up and beheld him standing. I love that. I just absolutely love that he wasn't sitting. He was standing. And when I get in trouble, I think of the Lord standing. He come to attention and He's watching this situation. And if it's my time, the Lord will give me a grace to go with. I believe it. But the Lord can stop anything because He's God. You know what our duty is? Our duty is to live righteously and glorify God and believe in God. And people will look and say, "Why did he do that? That was strange. He's a nut. He's a nut. That's right. I'm a nut for the Lord. I believe so much in him that I believe that he can take care of me." And he's proved that over and over and over again. Most of you've heard it. I had a guy stick a gun to my head. He punched me in the head with a gun. He tried to beat me, tried to pull me out of the truck. And I just sat there, and all of his efforts, he couldn't hurt me. I didn't feel pain. He couldn't pull me out. I just sat there and he couldn't pull me out of the truck. He jerked and punched and all that, and he couldn't pull me out. When I got through with the whole thing, I said, "Thank you, Jesus." I never fought back. I never swung back. I didn't shoot back. I didn't do anything. And the guy done everything he could do to hurt me, and he couldn't do it. And I used to fight a little bit and never did defend myself that way. I always got punched in the nose a little bit and it hurt and your nose bleed. God outdone any efforts that I could do to defend myself. And I was able to say through it all, "Lord, you helped me. And you was God. You were God to me." Thank God tonight. We need to lift Him up tonight. Folks, we need to lift God up in our personal lives. Lift Him up to be God of our lives. "You are my counselor. When I need to know something, speak it through a brother. Sure, I'll take it. But Lord, however you get it, I want to hear from you. You're my counselor. You're the one that's got the word. You're the one that got the wisdom. Lord, you're my lawyer. You're my protector. Lord, you're my physician. You're my healer. Lord, you're my rock, my high tower. You're what I run into." You know what? We need to lift the Lord up. We expect people. We want people. We try to reach out to people. Tell them we want them to get Jesus. We want them to be saved.
And we show them a God that can't do anything for us. Lord help us, it don't work. It don't work. This God's able to do something. We talk of the sanctity of marriage and how marriage and how the world has messed up marriage. But we better be careful when we say that things. How is it with you? Come on now. We're going to tell the world. We're going to tell the world how wonderful this salvation is and have messed up marriages. Come on now. If two people can't make a covenant together in God and live together as saints of God, then what are we saying anyway? I know it can be difficult. I know there's differences of ideas and things like that. But God made a perfect system. He's a big God. He made a perfect system to fix all of that. So we're going to witness to the world. We need to say to the world, and they need to look and say, I want a marriage like that. I want to be in love like those people are. I want to be committed like that. It ain't that you don't have problems, but they look and say they know how to fix them. God helps them to fix their problem. I want something like that. I want to know how to deal with problems. Neighbor ain't always right. Neighbor don't always treat you good. But the ones looking on needs to know, how do you handle something like that? You know, we can, Lord help us, but we can give those things to God. You know, I want to give you this in closing. Something the Lord really helped me with. He gave me a message about this not long ago. About just flowing in God. And I needed it so much because I would get myself anxious about so many things. And the Lord started dealing with me about, Marty, won't you stop that? Have I not took care of all these things for the last 30 years? Yeah, Lord, you did. Well, then why don't you stop and just flow? Just flow with it. I'll bring circumstances into your life. Would you just flow? You know how much that's all, I'm telling you, that's altered my life. Because now there's this word that's spoken. When I get like that, there's this idea, Marty, just flow. But what if I just flow? I've got it.
Thank the Lord.
Just go flow with it. It'll be okay. The finances will be there. Just flow. Yeah, I'll take care of it. Just flow. Yeah, you know, they said something. I'll defend you in this. You just leave it alone and go, and I'll defend this. Thank the Lord. I met a man that was close to the man that I told you did that to me. And I talked to him recently, this other man. We become really good friends. And I really appreciate him. He's a good brother. I really appreciate him. And he told me that he got with this other man. And he told him, he said, I want to talk to you about something. And the guy said, oh no, what is it? He said, I want to talk to you about Marty Clevenger. Oh no, I don't know. So I want to talk to you about him. And he said, I ain't saying these are my words. I'm saying this is what he said. He told him, he said, you need to forgive him. He said, that's a man of God. And he said, he's a good friend of mine. And he said, I love him. I love him. He was telling that guy, I love him. He would do you good. He ain't got nothing to get. And he, you know what? It took years, and God is doing it. My only prayer towards him, I want him to be saved. I want him to be happy. Because I know how the devil is, but God is big enough. Marty, just flow. Folks, just flow. Trust God. Glorify the Lord. Allow him to work into your life that you can say, God, it's real, folks. God has done this and this and this in my life. I want to tell you, in my early, I still say it's true, but in my ministry, I could go on for hours telling you what the Lord has done for me. In the ministry, when I thought I was going to, there was nothing I could, Lord, help me here. And the Lord just do it in, it's just amazing. You know, one time right here in this chapel, I had preached the night before the ordinance service, and I am free. I'm just free as I can be. And I know that somebody prayed this on me, and I know who it was. And I got down at prayer before that, and I was just as free as I, and I got down to prayer. And the Lord spoke something to me and said, I want you to do this service. And I was like, that I just, okay, Lord, I'll do it. And I done one part, and there was another sister around that had the other part, and she was praying that there would be a brother do this other part because she didn't have that part. And so I done that, and the Lord put that on. You think God can work that way, folks? He's a big God. He's a big God. He can visit the folks that we love and pray for. He can visit them in the night. You believe that? I'll ask you what I asked up home. When was the last time you really fasted and prayed? You don't have to answer that. I don't expect an answer. I'm trying to provoke you. When was the last time that you really fasted and prayed? We said, well, I know what the Bible says about it. They said, why don't your disciples pray? And he said, because the bridegroom's still... Hey, folks, he ain't here. He said they'll fast and pray when he's gone. Well, he's gone. Well, that's... What that statement is, there's a statement bigger than just the act. There's a statement that says, I believe this enough to give something. I need it enough to give for it. There's a statement involved in it that goes out to everybody, that goes out, it glorifies God when we believe that He's what He said He was. He's a loving, all-powerful, all-knowing God that loves everybody and wants to reach them. And it's our duty. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. Who's going to lift him up? Who's going to lift him up? It's up to us to lift him up. Lift him up. You can say words that means nothing. You can say words that everybody sees through. We lift him up because we live for him with all of our hearts. We lift him up that he is my significant. He is what's main thing to me. He's all in all to me. Everything rotates around him. He's everything to me. I do everything else around him because he's the point of my life. He's the purpose of my life. I want to say that to everyone. If you'll find the Lord, you'll find it all. And we'll be able to lift that up to say, he's so important to me. I like to say to my children how important service is, but I don't tell them with my mouth. We go to service. We say, you want to, hey, my children grow up and say, if you ask them, say, hey, was going to service important to your dad? Are you kidding me? We went every time. We went all the time. They'll say, hey, Dad, do we have to go to church? No, we get to. We get to. Because it's important. It's God. I didn't establish it. God did. You have to realize God established us uniting ourselves together. God did it. So we glorify God by believing Him and doing it. And making it. I get worried when I don't want to do it. I get worried when I'm doing it out of duty. I'll do it out of duty. But I get worried and say, Lord, help my passion to burn and do it from a faithful heart. And a loving heart. And do it. Because I want to and I'm glad to be here. When I'm not glad to be there and I'm doing it, I'm still doing it by duty. But I know I need help. And I ask the Lord, please help me in here. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.